and thanks for joining us on the Christian Celebration Center podcast. Our prayer is that this audio will encourage you in Christ and challenge you from God's Word. Enjoy the message.
Good morning, CCC. I would first just like to thank my extremely awesome and incredibly handsome husband for giving me this opportunity to share with you this morning. I have been looking forward to it for a very long time, and I'm actually really excited as well because we have a balancing beam on stage. And today, I'm going to get to live out my dream of being a circus performer for all of you. Yay! Has anybody else as a child ever want to join the circus? Any circus performer? Okay, we've got a couple. All right. I always thought it would be fun to do the trapeze. Like, it always looks so graceful. Until I tried to hang upside down on the monkey bars. And I don't know how trapeze performers do it, but when I hang upside down, I feel like my head's going to explode, and then I'm going to black out. So I gave up on that dream, but I've also always been in awe of the tightrope walkers. How do they walk on a wire like that and make it look so easy? Check out this video. How do they seem so calm when walking on a wire so far from the ground? In that video, the wire over the Grand Canyon is actually only 2 inches thick, and it's 1,500 feet from the ground. And he wasn't even harnessed in. That's crazy. You know, tightrope walkers obviously have to become experts in balance. And today, with the Lord's help, I'm going to try to convince you all that you should join the circus and become a tightrope walker, or at least become a little better at balancing this thing called life. You know, as people in this day and age, we can become pulled in 1,000 different directions. And I know that as a mom, sometimes the many different directions that my brain can take in a very small span of time can actually kind of seem like a circus act in itself. So listen as a mom describes what runs through her mind in the course of about 1 minute. So hold on tight. I need to pick up a gallon of milk on the way home. Better get two. It's amazing how fast the kids go through that stuff, but I guess that they are growing, which reminds me, I need to get them their physical exams that they're due. I need to call when I get home, and when I get home, I also have to fold that mountain of laundry on the couch. No, wait, I won't have time. It's bath night, and there's a science experiment that's due. Do we have glue? I think we have glue. I better add that to the grocery list just in case, but I could probably remember that. Milk and glue, milk and glue, milk and glue. Got it. Oh, and this weekend, I think they're going to grandma's house, so I should probably pack their allergy medicine. Do I have enough allergy medicine to make it through the weekend? Maybe. I should probably add that to the grocery list as well. And maybe there was something else I needed. What was it? I don't know. I do have to respond to that email after dinner. Dinner. I should probably pick up something for dinner when I'm at the store as well. Can anyone relate to that kind of brain activity? Like, for some of you, I just read your mind on a normal day. We all have our moments of trying to balance this thing called life, and it can be exhausting if we don't know how to balance correctly. Now, just in case you weren't sure or you didn't want to assume anything, I am not a professional tightrope walker. Actually, I have walked very minimally on a balance beam at all, but I have logged many, many hours on a virtual balance beam called Life. I've put in my time trying to balance all the things that make up my life, right? So you've got grocery shopping, helping with homework, music lessons, responding to emails, party planning, doctor's appointments, house cleaning, I'm running out of room, laundry, time with husband, time with children, time with Jesus, sports practices, meal planning, and trying to help my child parallel park when really I can't do it very well either. So we have all of this that I'm carrying, but there's also the unseen load that we carry. There's the mental and emotional load of walking through this life with all its ups and downs, with all its mountains and valleys, and with all my own expectations, questions, and insecurities. It's so much to carry. It's so much to balance. Has anyone ever felt a bit overwhelmed by it all? A bit weighed down? Maybe a little stressed out at times? Have you ever asked yourself the question, how can I possibly balance it all? How can I carry it all? How can I hold all of this together? But what if I told you that you could be trained on how to be better at balancing? What if I told you there's even a secret to the art of balancing? There's actually a formula that works every time to help you maintain your balance. And only expert balancing act performers know about it. Anyone interested in knowing what it is? I'm so glad you are. Let's begin by opening up his word to Colossians 1, verse 15. Colossians is a small book in the New Testament, a letter written by Paul and Timothy to the church in Colossae, while Paul was actually imprisoned in Rome. Although Paul hadn't ever visited the church, he wrote out of his concern for them because there were false teachers there that were actually saying that Jesus was just an angelic being and not the Son of God. And clearly, that was not okay. So he wrote to clear up some of these false teachings. Let's all stand together and begin by reading Colossians 1, verses 15 through 17. The Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. Now let's look at the Message paraphrase of those same verses. We look at the Son and see the God who cannot be seen. We look at this Son and see God's original purpose in everything created. For everything, absolutely everything, above and below, visible and invisible, rank after rank after rank of angels, everything got started in him and finds his purpose in him. He was there before any of it came into existence, and he holds it all together right up to this moment. Wow. What a powerful scripture about our powerful God. So before I say another word, let's just go to him in prayer. Lord Jesus, we stand in awe of you. We stand in awe of your power. We stand in awe of your love for us. And Lord, I humbly ask that your words would be my words, Lord, and that your Holy Spirit would be allowed the freedom to reveal what you want to reveal in our hearts and in our lives. In your name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. The word balance. It means an even distribution of weight, enabling something to remain upright and steady so that it will not fall. Basically, balance happens when the weight of something is evenly distributed. So, let's say that I ask each of you to come up here and walk across the balance beam. Except, instead of walking on this balance beam that's only a foot from the ground, I ask each of you to come up here and walk a balance beam that's 10 feet from the ground. And then let's pretend that I tell you that only the ones that make it across that 10-foot balance beam get to leave and go have lunch. That's an incentive for some of you. But let's also say that I invited that man from the video, I invited him to come to the service, and if you wanted to, you had the opportunity to ask for his advice as you walked across that beam. How many of you would take his advice? How many of you would skip lunch? Right, yeah, I'm with you. But although most of us wouldn't volunteer to come up here and perform a little balancing act, Most of us would opt to take the expert's advice if we were given the chance. But let me ask you a question. Why? Why would you trust an expert tightrope walker to give you advice? Because you know that he knows more about the art of balancing than you do. You would allow him to control your steps because you trust his ability to help you reach a steady position and not let you fall. It makes a huge difference if we trust the one who is helping to balance us, the one that's telling us how fast to go, where to put our feet, how to hold our arms, what to look at as we walk, how to evenly distribute our weight. So let's go back to our main text this morning, Colossians 1:17. Who is the one who balances it all? Who holds it all together? It says, and in him all things hold together. In who? In Jesus. All things are held together. He is the one who literally knows how to balance it all. All of creation. So it doesn't say that we're meant to hold it all together? That we're supposed to do it all, fix it all, carry it all? No. He is the one we're supposed to trust to carry it all, to balance it all. We were created with the ability not to hold it all together, but with the ability to ask the expert, to follow his directions. You weren't created to hold it all together. You were created to trust the one who can. And that's a great truth to live by, but how do you actually live it out? How do I just step onto this beam, this balancing act of life, and say, well, it's not my job to figure it all out. It's not my job to do it all. So kids, you know what? Figure out dinner, do your own laundry, and find a ride to school, because I'm going to be in my room watching Fixer Upper. Sorry. How do we actually allow him to help balance us, hold it all together, and evenly distribute this load of ours called life? So glad you asked, because this morning we're going to talk about five things that you must know in order to successfully balance this thing called life. Number one, know where you're going and remind yourself of it. Have you ever started a trip and you really had no clue where you're going, like what roads you were going to take? It doesn't really happen too often with technology anymore, but before the internet and GPS and Siri, we used to have to use this thing called a road map. And it had a little key at the bottom with how many miles was an inch, and you had to kind of figure it out as you drove. In this balancing act of life, do you know where you're going? Do you know your destination? You see, really, our time here on earth, it's pretty short. James 4:14 says our life is just a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. This life, it's just a temporary stay, a little stop-off point. And then when we die, we begin eternity and our actual destination, either heaven or hell. Now, I realize that talking about this, especially the latter, doesn't always give everyone warm fuzzies, and we don't like to think about it or hear about it. But we have to preach the truth of God's word. And the Bible is clear, there is an actual heaven and there is a hell. And you don't go to heaven just because you were a good person. And being a good person doesn't keep you from a final destination in hell. Your final destination is determined by what you believed about Jesus Christ being the Son of God and the King of Kings. Did you accept his invitation for salvation or did you not? God doesn't send anyone to hell. He offers us the opportunity to be with him forever, but he doesn't force it on anyone. You know, many of you know John 3:16. It says, for God so loved the world that he sent his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. He doesn't want anyone to spend eternity without him, but he leaves it up to us. It's our choice. I felt led to share that this morning, which means somebody here needed to hear it. But now let's go back to our main text for today, Colossians 1:16. It says, in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. It mentions there are invisible things and there are visible things. Just as heaven and hell are places that we don't see with our human eyes, there is also a whole other world, a spiritual world that we can't see. At least we don't see very often. And for believers, thinking about that world should get us excited. There are literally ranks and ranks and ranks of angels all around us, fighting with us and fighting for us. And we, get this, we have been adopted by the commander of heaven's armies. Amazing. And the commander, he takes care of his kids. You know, when I think about that, I wonder why I ever worry, why I don't trust him sometimes. My husband recently said that any moment spent worrying is a waste of time. Honestly, I've wasted a lot of time, and I don't want to waste any more. So as believers, let's stop worrying, let's stop wasting time, and let's start reminding ourselves that our time here is short, and then we get to go to heaven. That should get us excited. Hebrews 11 says we are foreigners here on earth, and our true country, our true home is found in heaven. When we accept Christ, we become citizens of another country. I love the song by Building 429 called Where I Belong, and it says, "All I know is I'm not home yet. This is not where I belong. Take this world and give me Jesus. This is not where I belong." But although I love singing along with that song, how often do I remind myself of that truth? How often do I think about eternity in my day-to-day life? How often does it affect the way I live? Honestly, not often enough. C.S. Lewis said this, "If you read history, Christians who did the most for the present world were just those who thought most of the next." Reminding yourself of the next world allows you to walk with intentionality, and it makes you better at maintaining your balance. A little while ago, I also read this quote, and I wrote it down, "Life is a marathon, not a sprint. This means you must balance, prioritize, and pace yourself." I realize that sometimes I approach my life more like a sprint. I have to get everything done. I have to check off everything on my to-do list. I have to make sure everyone is fed, clean, happy, healthy, gets all homework done, makes it to all required practices and appointments, and feels cared for today. And then I will do that same sprint tomorrow. There's not a whole lot of intentionality behind it, and there's not a whole lot of thought of eternity in living like that either. But as the Lord has helped me to see my life more as a marathon instead of a sprint, it's changed the way I walk on this beam of life. I know it's a short walk, and I want to make the most of it, reminding myself of where I'm going. The second thing you must be aware of as you walk on this beam is this. Know who you're performing for. Whose applause do you seek? Honestly, I will be transparent with you this morning and tell you I have a natural bent to perform for people. As a kid, I would burst into tears if I thought that someone, especially someone in authority over me, was upset at me. And that meant that I didn't get too many spankings as a child, unlike my husband. And it also meant that teachers loved me. But it also meant some embarrassment in high school. I remember one time I was in American history class, and I was talking with some friends in the back of the room, and the teacher got on to me, called me out, and made me come to the front of the room and sit at a desk right in front of her. And to my shame, I began to cry, and I felt like a complete moron. But you know what I've realized? I can't please everybody. Even in doing something, you will have some that say you did the best job, and then you will have others that say, you know, you should have done that another way. If I get up on this beam and I do my very best performance, which isn't that great, I will have some of you that will give me a standing O, and I will have others of you that will want to throw things at me. Paul knew this, and he wrote in his letter to the Galatians, "Now, am I trying to win the favor of men or of God? Do I seek to please men? If I were still seeking popularity with men, I should not be a bondservant of Christ the Messiah." You know, the word bondservant here is actually the word doulos, which means one who gives himself up to another's will. In other words, here's what Paul's saying. If I'm still trying to win the vote for the most popular guy, I shouldn't be giving myself up to live my life to follow Christ. Because living a life of complete surrender to Christ doesn't usually equal applause from people. One of my mentors once said this: play for an audience of one, live for the applause of nail-scarred hands. Those words have often repeated over and over and over in my head whenever I'm tempted to go back to that natural bent of people-pleasing. I like people to like me. I like people to think good things about me. And those things aren't bad in and of themselves, but it can't be why I perform, and it can't be what I seek. So perform for an audience of one. And if you can perform for him and you trust that what he applauds is what's most important, you will be able to evenly distribute this load of life and maintain your balance. The third way we learn how to balance is this: know other circus performers. We're not meant to do this balancing act alone. Most people will say that they would love to get to know other people, but they just don't have the time. And I would say that if something's a priority, you will make the time to do it. So, why should this be a priority? How does this help you keep your balance? Here's how. The enemy likes to keep us in little islands, isolated, on our own, because he knows that we function best when we're in the body, right? 1 Corinthians 12 tells us that we're all the body of Christ, and that even though we're all different, I might be a foot, you might be a hand, we're all needed for the body to function as it should. We all need each other, which means we kind of need to get to know each other. And speaking of, since it's Mother's Day, I'll go ahead and remind you that Mom to Mom does meet this week, and it's an easy way to get to know other women. And if you're not a mom, there are other ways to connect with other people you can find on our website. And you can form real relationships, like the kind of relationships where you can tell the other person they have broccoli in their teeth, like those kind of close relationships. You see, it's our vulnerabilities that bind us together. It's not our strengths. That means we have to be willing to let people actually see us, to take off the masks, to stop hiding behind the walls, and to take a chance at building a relationship. Building relationships take guts. It takes some vulnerability, and it takes some time, but it's totally worth it, and it's totally what God intended. So when we make it a priority, when we allow God to bring other people into our life, we become more balanced. Proverbs 27:17 says this: as iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. So let's make some time to do some sharpening and improve our balance on this beam of life. Fourth thing to improve your balance is this: know what you're carrying and what you shouldn't be. We all carry a lot, don't we? But we don't just carry what's in this basket. We also carry a lot of different types of loads. We carry physical loads, we carry emotional loads, and we carry mental loads. You know, the physical load is what's symbolized by this basket. And it's mostly our day-to-day responsibilities. It's our schedules. It's the things we feel like we have to do, or that we don't really have to do, but we take it on. Unfortunately, in America, we are in this culture of busyness. And we often continue on long after our bodies tell us to rest, completing tasks and continuing to plan for what's to come. Honestly, do you more often feel like your schedule controls you, or you control your schedule? I can't tell you how many times I've heard people complain about how busy their schedules are, but they continue to live that way. For multiple different reasons. Sometimes it's because they don't see another option. Sometimes it's because of the expectations of others or themselves. Sometimes because of their inability to say no to people. And sometimes it's because they have a desire to be good parents and they want to allow their kids every opportunity to do whatever it is they want to do. I understand the desire for our kids to be able to pursue their giftings. But let me just say, kids don't really understand what they can or what they should handle. And we as parents have to teach them these things, how to balance, how to determine what should be in the basket and what shouldn't. But first, we have to figure that out ourselves. There are days when I have taken my kids to school, practices, and made sure they did all their homework, but I haven't had one conversation with them about the Lord, or I haven't opened my Bible with them, or I haven't even asked what's really going on in their life. Those are days I didn't throw the right things out of my basket. The mental load of this life is actually illustrated by that blog post that I read earlier. There are always things running through our minds, things we have to do, things we'd like to do, things we don't know what to do about. And then the mental load can easily get transferred into an emotional load because we shoulder the weight of all that's on our minds. And this emotional load is usually carried with the best of intentions. We want the best for the ones we love. Listen as one mom in a blog describes her emotional load. Every day, I do all the things for all the people. I get the dog to the groomer. I make yet another Target run. I boil more water for another box of mac and cheese. I brush teeth. I braid hair. I sort laundry. I schedule an oil change. I hunt down the right kind of string cheese. I quiz spelling words. I mend pants. But what you don't see, what no one can prepare you for, is the way I'm constantly assessing and tending to the well-being of each of my children and my husband for good measure. It's like a sliding scale that never stops moving, and it's loaded down with so much emotional weight, it could squash a grown elephant like an ant. Is my son having a good day at school? Or are those girls who've been bothering him lately hurting his tender heart and triggering his anxiety? Am I doing enough to keep the lines of communication open between me and my soon-to-be teenage daughter? Is my preschooler going to cope well enough when her dad and I go out of town for a few nights next week? Is my husband overwhelmed by shifting dynamics at work that he doesn't want to bother me with? At least the baby's easy. All she does is wake me up at night. I have felt that load before. And in fact, the first time I read this, I cried. I could so relate to that unbearable load, the emotional weight that could squash an elephant and could easily squash me. In fact, I think I've already been squashed a few times. But here's what I've learned over time. I am not meant to bear that weight. I am not meant to carry that load. It's too heavy. I can't meet everyone's expectations of me. I can't raise perfect kids. I can't always know what to say or how to respond. I can't be the perfect wife and mother. I can't control my kids' futures or their choices. And I can't be the glue that holds it all together. It's not my job. In fact, I don't have the ability to do it. Maybe I can handle it temporarily, short term. But if I try, I won't end up in a healthy place. I am meant to give this load to him. I wasn't created to hold it all together. I was created to trust the one who can. And what does he say about these loads that we carry? Matthew 11:28, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Psalms 55:22, give your burdens to the Lord and he will take care of you. He will not permit the godly to slip and fall. And Philippians 4:6-7, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need, thank him for all he's done, and then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and your minds as you live in Christ Jesus. He will guard your hearts and your minds. He, the creator of this universe, the one who holds it all together, invites us to give our loads to him. So what are you carrying that you need to give to Jesus? Maybe it's regret, maybe it's shame, maybe your crazy schedule, maybe worry, maybe expectations of others, maybe the unrealistic desire to be perfect in some area of your life. Whatever it is, it's too heavy for you. You have to let it go and trust that he can carry it a whole lot better than you can. But there is something else that you actually need to carry in order to balance this thing called life. If you noticed in the video, Tightrope walkers usually carry something in their hands, kind of similar to this pole that I have here. Now, this one is only 10 feet long, but the one in the video is actually 30 feet long, and it weighs 43 pounds. Now, there's quite a bit of science behind it, but actually, this pole enables tightrope walkers to keep their balance, to keep them steady. It enables them to make adjustments if they start to lean to one side or the other. So what about this beam of life? What could we hold on to that will help maintain our balance? What is it that will help keep us steady? It's this. We hold on to His Word. His Word is our pole that helps us make adjustments whenever we really don't know what to do. And we're leaning to one side and then the other. Without this, we can't evenly distribute our weight. Hearing His Word and believing it keeps us steady. Check out these truths to live by. Psalms 37, 23, and 24. The Lord makes firm the steps of the one who delights in Him. Though he may stumble, he will not fall, for the Lord upholds him with His hand. Psalms 32, 8 says, the Lord will guide you along the best pathway for your life. He will advise you and watch over you. In 2 Peter 1, 3, I love this. His divine power has given us what? Everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. And last, Acts 17, 25, He Himself gives life and breath to everything, and He satisfies every need. His Word helps us learn how to listen to Him, right? Rest in Him, trust in Him, the expert at balancing it all. Remember, you weren't created to hold it all together or to carry it all. You were created to trust the one who can and to hold on to His Word. The last thing you must know to balance on this beam of life is this. Know your center of gravity. You know, for those of you science people out there, you know there's this thing called a center of gravity that's really important when talking about balance. The center of gravity is where an object's mass, the stuff it's made of, is concentrated. And if the center is right, if it's focused where it needs to be, the object or the person will be balanced. So where's your center of gravity? Maybe not so much in a physical sense, but in a figurative sense. What is your life centered on? Now, as believers, we know the right answer to that question, right? But is it the honest answer? Let me ask you a few questions so that you can come up with what the center of your life is. What is your goal or purpose for your life? What is your definition of living a successful life? Is it having a job you love? Having a family you can provide for? Raising your kids to be healthy, happy, responsible adults? Is it fulfilling your dreams? Leaving this world better than you found it? They're all great goals, right? But are they the best goals? Why are we here on earth? Why were we created? What's our purpose as human beings? They're huge, hard questions to answer, but they're actually relatively easy for believers of Jesus to answer. Let's go back to our main text for this morning, Colossians 1, verse 16. It says, all things have been created through Him and for Him. And in the Message, it says this, everything got started in Him and finds its purpose in Him. We find our purpose in Him. And we are created for Him to bring Him glory and to point people to Him. It's simple to know, right? It's not quite as simple to live out. Do we daily live like that? Like He's our center? I know I haven't always lived like that. To maintain our balance, our center has to be Jesus. At least one expert tightrope walker knows this as well. Watch this video.
Thank you, Jesus, for this beautiful view. Praise you, God. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Yes, Jesus. That's my King. Praise you. Praise you, Jesus, Lord.
No matter how far from the ground we may feel, or how crazy the balancing act seems to be, we become balanced when he's our center. As we close, let's look one last time at the main text for this morning, verse 17. It says this: He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. The verb used for hold together here is the Greek word synestimi, which means to bond together, to unite, to stand with or near. Do you know what that means? That means that as we walk on this balance beam of life, God is not in the balcony eating popcorn, watching to see if we make it or not. No, he is standing with us. He is standing near us, offering us a hand to keep us steady, a head nod to encourage us to keep walking, to keep holding on to his word, and a huge smile to remind us that he loves us like crazy. Remember I told you when I started this message that there was a formula for balancing life? Here it is. Complete surrender plus Jesus plus complete trust equals a well-balanced life. But Jesus, he has to be in the center of this formula. And at the center of our lives, he has to be our center of gravity. Remember, you weren't created to hold it all together. You were created to trust the one who can. And here's how I feel led to just end our time together today. I'm going to ask you all to take just a little time to pray and answer two questions. The first one is this: Is there anything I am carrying that I need to give to Jesus? We all carry the weight of many loads, but some were never meant for us to bear. And the second is this: Right now, who or what is the center of my life? You know, even if you've known Jesus for 5, 10, 20 years, that doesn't actually mean that he is the center of your life today. So I'm going to ask you just to bow your heads, just to take some time asking the Lord to help you know the honest answers to these questions. So first, is there anything I am carrying that I need to give to Jesus? And second, right now, who or what is the center of my life? Ask the Holy Spirit to reveal the honest answer to this question, and then have the guts to listen. And if you're here and Jesus has never been the center of your life and you want him to be, simply tell him that. The Bible says if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that he was raised from the dead, you will be saved. Tell Jesus you believe in him, that you want him to be your center, the Lord of your life. And then after service, go visit the Next Steps table in the lobby. We would love the opportunity to help you begin your journey with him. But take some time right now. Who or what is the center of my life?
Thank you for listening. You know, we believe God has something amazing in store for you today. And now is the perfect time to take a few moments and pray about what you just heard. If this message spoke to you, we would love to hear about it. Send us an email to office@cccmidland.com or connect with us on your favorite social media @cccmidland.